Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Working can be such a drag, but it's a necessary evil.
What better way to combat the woes of the working world than to commiserate with your fellow man?
I'm Jay.
And I'm Kay.
And we're the hosts of Fuck My Work Life, a comedy podcast where we share people's stories from the workplace.
Whether they're funny, weird, scary, or just plain messed up, they're always entertaining and may leave you thinking you don't have it so bad after all.
Available on all major podcast platforms. Give us a listen. Your sanity may just depend on it.
Hey, what are you up to?
Oh, hi. I'm listening to this awesome podcast.
Ooh, I love finding awesome new podcasts. What is it about?
Well, it's about a bunch of things. Sometimes history, sometimes hauntings, sometimes it's spooky, and sometimes it's funny, but it's always interesting.
Ooh, okay, that sounds great. What's special about it?
Well, each week, Celine picks a topic and reads it, and Matt creates a pairing of a treat and a drink to go with this peculiar tale.
And they
talk about it and they joke about it.
Hold on.
And sometimes they have guests and have even more fun.
Wait a second.
What?
That's our podcast.
Yeah, you're right.
Why are you listening to our podcast?
Well, you know, we're heading into the long dark of winter, and that can make some people feel kind of isolated, and listening to Peculiar Pairings is a great way to feel like you're hanging out with good friends at the push of a button.
Well, that actually sounds really nice. Kind of sounds like everyone should be listening to Peculiar Pairings.
You know, I couldn't agree more.
So if this sounds like it's piqued your interest, you should search Peculiar Pairings podcast on your favorite podcasting platform today.
Yeah, we're everywhere. Come check it out.
Find us. We're there.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us today for this episode.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Before we get started, I wanted to read a recent Apple Podcast review that was left for us. Really nice from, the name is Lil Pyro Girl. And it's a 5-star review saying, great duo, enjoyed the quick take on true crime. Great job. So thank you to Lil Pyro Girl, whoever you are.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope you're watching fires from afar and not starting them yourself. But if you are, hey, be safe about it. No judgment. So Declan, what story are you going to be telling us about today?
I'm going to be talking about Otzi the Iceman.
Otzi the Iceman. Okay.
Yeah, it's a weird story. But what are you going to be telling us about today, Mom?
I'm going to be talking about one of the things that we love to bring up. Keep your damn mouth shut. If you do something, keep your mouth shut.
Some guy snitching on himself?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Great.
It was a pretty nasty theme. Yeah, it's a pretty nasty crime. But again, keep your mouth shut. And to go along with this story, I found the Southern Baptist cocktail. And
that's a little redundant.
You think? So
I don't think Southern Baptist is Mormon, right? Or
no, Southern, it's like,
oh,
the Baptist religion, but from the South.
And okay. So, never mind, they can drink alcohol. Okay.
Yes. The only reason I chose this drink was because Baptist was in the name. It's not set in the South. It's actually set in Ireland. But I thought that the drink would be good. So that's why we're trying it. So the Southern Baptist cocktail is made of 2 ounces of rye whiskey, 3/4 ounce of fresh ginger syrup, 1 ounce of lime juice, and then garnished with a lime wheel or a lime twist. The instructions are you make the ginger syrup fresh, which I followed the instructions and it was the weirdest method I had ever seen. So you take 1.5 ounces of fresh ginger root peeled and you have 2 tablespoons of syrup. And in the ginger, for the ginger syrup, you slice up the ginger root into chunks, place it in a mixing glass, and you muddle it to extract the juice. It took a lot of ginger root. I got a pretty big chunk. I didn't weigh it out. I thought it was too much. And then I barely made enough. But you muddle it out, then you strain out the juice, and then combine 1/2 ounce of juice, which was barely all I got, with 2 tablespoons of sugar, and you mix it very well. And then for the cocktail, you combine the whiskey, ginger syrup, lime juice in a cocktail shaker with ice, shake well to combine, strain into a coupe glass, and garnish as desired. There's got to be an easier way to make a ginger syrup. Just saying. Maybe if I had a juicer, it probably would have been easier and I would have gotten more. I felt like it was really
lackluster.
And it barely got any juice out, but it was super concentrated. So maybe that's why it's done this way. So are you ready to give this Southern Baptist cocktail a drink? We'll sample it.
Sure.
I definitely smell the whiskey. I taste no ginger until
just taste whiskey.
It's like 30 seconds in from my sip and I finally taste a little ginger.
You get like a little bit of burn from the, I don't know if the burn's from the ginger or the liquor.
Could be
wrong. It's like a little spice in it. Yeah. It's okay.
It's all right. It's not great. But I would have thought that the ginger would have been really strong based on how it was made.
Like, yeah. It's a strong ingredient. Like,
yeah.
You know when you're eating ginger.
Oh, for sure. I think you could make the ginger syrup by making a simple syrup with ginger in it while you were, you know, like steeping the ginger root in the syrup. Might take longer, but you might get more. I don't know. It's meh. It's not gingery enough. It's not as gingery as I thought it would be. So that kind of bums me out. Oh, well, I'm still going to drink it.
Yeah. We made it. Gotta drink it.
So, this is actually Northern Ireland. So, the only reason I chose the drink was because the people in the story were Baptist in religion, and that is how they met. So, thus the Southern Baptist, even though it's Northern Ireland. I know, I get it. It's fine. So, on May 19th, 1991, police in Castle Rock, a little town in Northern Ireland, found a male and female inside of a fume-filled car. The woman was identified as Leslie Howell. She was 31 years old. The male in the car was Trevor Buchanan, and he was 32 years old. The car was located parked in the garage of Leslie's deceased father. By all appearances, it looked like Leslie and Trevor had died in a suicide pact, and police proceeded to investigate based on that idea. The following year, a coroner's court ruled that the cause of death for Leslie and Trevor was carbon monoxide poisoning. So, how did Leslie and Trevor know each other, and why would they die together? That is the question. So there's a little bit of backstory involved here. Leslie was married to a local dentist named Colin Howell, and they had 4 children. Trevor was married to a woman named Hazel Buchanan, and they had 2 children together. It turns out that the spouses, Colin and Hazel, had been having an affair.
Great.
Yes. So they soon started. Colin was very active in their church, their Baptist church, and Hazel was the Sunday school teacher, and that is how they met. They soon started spending some time together with church and the children's activities because they both had children. So they were doing some stuff together. It eventually evolved into an affair. Unfortunately, the affair didn't go unnoticed, though, and Leslie became concerned with Colin and Hazel spending so much time together. She confided her fears to their pastor, who looked into the issue. Initially, both Colin and Hazel denied the affair, but the truth did come out eventually. They were both like, no, 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 we're not doing anything. However, that didn't last very long, and Hazel finally was like, okay, yes. We're having an emotional affair, but that's it. A big fat lie, huge lie. They'd been having a physical affair as well. Both Leslie and Trevor were upset to learn that they'd been cheated on, as any spouse typically
is. Most people would. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody likes to get cheated on. It's not nice. Don't do shit like that. Trevor was emotionally upset. He was pretty upset, you know, but Leslie was a little bit more upset, and she ended up overdosing on some sleeping pills. Thankfully, she recovered in the hospital. They got her in time. Both couples chose to do hard work, and they decided to stick with their marriages. They went through counseling through the church, and also just getting some general assistance through the church. Both couples were still in the church. They were still active in the church, but they made arrangements so that they weren't at services together. So one would go to a different time service. One couple would go to different, you know, things. And they would all go through counseling somewhat together. Leslie and Trevor formed a friendship, attempting to console each other after their spouse's deceit. And I don't mean they were consoling each other physically. They just were like, hey, we both got fucked over, so let's be friends, kind of thing. They didn't do anything, okay, you know, inappropriate. And Colin and Hazel's affair was over. They said, we're done. That lasted a couple of months. The following spring of 1991, it was back on. Leslie had some concerns about Colin cheating again after she had found condoms in his gym bag. That's a red flag.
Yeah, that's not typical workout equipment.
Could you even imagine? Oh, yeah, you know, got to put some condoms on when I go run on the treadmill and and do some bench press, some squats.
It's like those wrestlers that wear garbage bags to lose water weight.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. So because she was upset, she turned to drinking and the sleeping pills again. She was also worried about her safety and told a friend about a scary incident between her and Colin. One night, Leslie and Colin were arguing about the affair, and she was preparing to take a bath. She brought in a tape player to listen to music, but Colin warned her that the player might fall in the tub. You know, it's a considerate thing to think about. However, it was not considerate that he dangled the cord in front of her and dropped it on the floor in a menacing way. Like, he was like, this is going to fall in, and gave her a shitty look and then dropped the cord, like, see what could happen to you. So,
Jesus,
it made her nervous, and she told a friend, like, fearing something that might happen to her, she told a friend about the incident, stating, quote, I'm telling you this in case anything happens to me, end quote.
And that's never good.
No, I think if I were worried about someone to the point where I had to tell a friend, hey, this is scary to me, in case something happens, I would make sure that nothing happened and I would leave the situation and hope that leaving the situation was enough. Just a few weeks later, it was not enough. Things took a bad turn. On the morning of May 19th, 1991, Colin called a friend from church explaining that he couldn't find Leslie. He asked for help looking for her. Leslie and Trevor were found deceased in the car parked in her dad's garage. Based on Leslie's previous OD on sleeping pills and Trevor's despair about their spouse's affair, it wasn't a hard stretch to think that they had taken their own lives. Investigators proceeded with this theory, and it was ruled as such. Colin and Hazel went on with their lives after the death of their spouses. They continued their relationship for about 5 years, but in the long run, they didn't stay together. Each went on to marry other people. Nearly 20 years later, the truth of what happened to Leslie and Trevor was finally revealed in a very shocking way. This is where we get to the keep your damn mouth shut. But
okay,
he did it to himself. I'll say that.
Okay.
In early 2009, after having some bad things happen to him financially and the unexpected death of his son, Colin felt that he was being punished by God for the bad things that he had done. In an effort to clear his conscience and hopefully alleviate his religious punishment, because he thought God was punishing him, he confessed many sins to the elders in his church. He mentioned the many times that he had cheated on his current wife. He discussed how he had lost a small fortune in a get-rich-quick scheme. He stepped up the confession and admitted to sexually assaulting many of his patients when they were sedated for dental procedures.
Oh, good silence.
Right. Which I don't think anybody knew about. I think that was like,
damn.
Wow. Okay. But the biggest part of his confession was that he had killed Leslie and Trevor back in 1991 and had staged the entire scene to look like a double suicide. He explained how he had done the whole thing. So he had connected a hose to the exhaust of his car, and he brought it inside. He laid the hose next to Leslie while she slept on the couch. Although she woke up briefly, he covered her head with a blanket until she stopped breathing. He then placed her body in the trunk of his car along with his bicycle. Colin drove to Hazel's house and proceeded to kill Trevor in the same fashion that he had done to Leslie. He completed the scene by driving the bodies in his car to Leslie's deceased father's house and parked it in the garage. Leslie's body was left in the trunk with several photos placed around her, like family photos, photos of her and her husband, and to
That's
make
weird.
It look like she had
she
wanted the pictures by her when she died because she was committing suicide.
That's fishy.
Trevor's body was staged in the driver's seat and the car was left running. Colin rode his bike home, and the following morning he called his church friend and provided a note that he claimed Leslie had left overnight when she left. Remember, he woke up and he said, oh, my wife is gone. I got to call my friend and ask him to look for her. And oh, by the way, she left a suicide note. The apparent suicide note was one that she had actually written and left several months before when she had taken the OD of sleeping pills. So she had written a note that time saying, we'll let this be our little secret if I don't die. And he kept the note.
That's dumb.
Yeah, he kept the note so that he could use it in the future, which he did. Colin asked the friend to check Leslie's father's house. And upon first inspection, he didn't find anything, but he didn't check the garage. So he went there, didn't see anything, called Colin, who was like, nope, nobody's there. Colin waited a couple hours and said, can you go back and check the house again? And the guy was like, oh, okay. Not weird at all. So this time, the second time, the friend brought a police officer with him, and that's when they found the car and the bodies in the garage. Everything lined up nice and neat, and the investigation was closed a few months later. When Hazel was questioned about the incident, she claimed that the whole plan was Colin's idea. She was like, I didn't want nothing to do with this. This was all on him, but I just went along with it. She said that Colin had provided her with sleeping pills to ensure that Trevor wouldn't wake up during the murder, basically. She stated that Colin had control of her and that she was in fear of him. Colin was charged with the murders in February of 2009, almost 20 years later, and he pleaded guilty. He was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum term of 21 years. Hazel went to trial and was convicted in 2011. She was sentenced to prison with a minimum of 18 years. Ultimately, the case had been closed for a long time. Colin and Hazel would have gotten away with the whole thing, but Colin's guilt got the better of him, and he sang like a canary and tattled on himself. And that is why they are now in jail. Dumb. Because no one was looking at them. The case had been closed. It was done. This guy, they had 100% gotten away with it. So I don't know how many times we have said, keep your mouth shut. But it's usually under different circumstances. I mean, he wanted to get caught. He wanted, in the end, he wanted the punishment for his crimes because he thought he was being punished by God.
He's going to go to hell if he didn't. Instead, he just went to jail.
Right. Yeah. Well, all the bad things that happened to him, he was like, I got to confess all this shit and then maybe God will stop punishing me. And now the justice system gets to punish him. And which, I don't know.
So weird.
Would you rather be punished by God or by your peers?
That's a good question. Yeah. Depending on what state you're in, you could be killed for it. So I don't think I'd rather be judged by God.
That's a good point. However, yeah. I feel like God would hold a grudge longer. You know, he would continually punish you.
It's been around for a long ass time. He probably got other things to worry about than me.
Yeah, but maybe he'll forget. Maybe Colin was thinking, if I don't confess, this punishment will go on forever. But now he's like, okay, I confess. So I'm going to get 21 years of punishment. At the minimum. I don't know.
That's a weird story.
It is. Tell us about your Iceman.
Okay. Okay, Otzi the Iceman. It's September of 1991. Some tourists hiking in the Otzel Alps happened upon something strange. Frozen in the ice was a body. The hikers, thinking it was a fairly fresh body, decided to alert the rangers that managed the park. When they arrived, they found a body that was frozen in the ice up to its torso. The rangers brought a pneumatic drill to break free the ice, but had to give up due to bad weather coming in. Several days after the discovery of the body and several artifacts around the body, they were all removed off the mountain. Everything was transported back to a medical examiner in Isenbrook. The medical examiner who received the body checked it out for a few days, but was stumped. This body was unlike anything he had ever seen before. He reached out to the University of Isenbrook, where archaeologist Conrad Spindler was located. Spindler arrived at the medical examiner's office, where he inspected the body. And after some time, he determined that this body was roughly 4,000 years old, based on an axe that was unearthed with the body.
Holy cow!
Yeah.
That's definitely not a new... Wow.
No. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Some tissue samples were taken, and it was determined that the remains belonged to someone who had lived between 3,359 and 3,105 BC. So
Holy crap.
Almost 5,000 years old.
Ooh.
They decided to name this body Otzi because it was discovered in the Otzel Alps. After some extensive research, it was determined that Otzi was a 45-year-old male who was about 5'3 and 110 pounds. High levels of both copper particles and arsenic were found in Otzi's hair. This, along with Otzi's copper axe blade, which was 99.7% pure copper,
wow,
had led scientists to speculate that Otzi was involved in copper smelting. One of his fingernails showed three bow lines, which indicated he was sick three times in the 6 months before he died. And like bow lines, oh, I had never heard of this before, but they're like ridges in mm-hmm. the fingernail going horizontally.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
Otzi.
Fingernails can show a lot about your health, whether they're horizontal or vertical ridges through the line. It can definitely show a lot about your health, and especially like poisoning and things like that.
That would probably, the arsenic probably didn't help with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Otzi had a total of 61 tattoos consisting of 19 groups of black lines.
Really?
Holy yeah, they had tattoos crap. Back then.
Wow. I would have never thought.
Yeah. Otzi wore a cloak made of woven grass and a coat, a belt, and a pair of leggings, a loincloth, and shoes, all made of leather of different skins. The shoes were waterproof and wide, seemingly designed for walking across the snow. In 2001, 10 years after his discovery, x-ray images showed a broken-off arrow lodged in his shoulder.
Oh.
This led scientists to believe that Otzi was attacked, and this led to his death.
Yeah.
It's not like he was just walking and fell over.
Right, and just, like, fell into a crevasse yeah. and died or something.
So with wow. this discovery, scientists took some DNA samples from his equipment, and that showed the DNA of four different people, which helped scientists determine that Otzi had probably killed two people before he was shot with the arrow.
Oh, he was fighting.
Yeah. But this isn't where the weirdness ends. Rainier Hen, one of the first people to touch Otzi while he was still frozen in the ice, was killed in a car accident while on his way to give a speech about the discovery of Otzi.
No.
Now, I wouldn't be talking about this if it was just one person that died randomly, but
no.
Otzi seems to have a grudge about being unearthed.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hurt Fritz, who accompanied Hen to the body, died in an avalanche. Fritz was a very experienced mountaineer and was with a large hiking group. Fritz was the only person in the group that was hit by the avalanche.
No.
Shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, well, being in an avalanche wouldn't necessarily surprise me because he was hiking around in the Alps. And in order to be hit by an avalanche, you have to be like a hiker in the mountains, in the snow and stuff. So, I mean, eventually, not a big surprise. However, if you're the only one in a large party, yeah, that's a weird sign.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Ooh. So a few months after Fritz's death, Austrian journalist Rainer Hotzel, who was the first person to document Otzi, died from a brain tumor only months after releasing a documentary with the footage he captured. Konrad Spindler, the archaeologist that first examined Otzi and determined his age, died from multiple sclerosis. Tom Loy, who helped run a DNA test, was found dead in his home from natural causes, but was a healthy man. So it was a kind of a shock that he was dead. But the weirdest death of them all was the one of the tourists who discovered Otzi. Helmut Simon was found dead in 2004, almost exactly where Otzi was found. He had fallen in a crazy blizzard and was found frozen.
What?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Yeah, bunch of weird shit.
Why? Like, okay, I, you know, most people have heard about the, you know, if you're digging up the pyramids and you're opening the tombs.
Mummy's curse.
Bad luck. It's cursed. Exactly. Mummy's curse.
Yeah.
I get that because they were, you know, you don't want to go digging up somebody's like intended burial.
Somebody's
but
shit. Yeah.
You'd think that Otzi would be like okay with it because he didn't probably want to die on that mountain getting, you know, dead by an arrow after he'd killed a couple people and was wow, that's wild.
Super weird. Because I had heard of Otzi, but I didn't know that a bunch of people who found him died weirdly.
Yeah. Otzi. Okay,
yeah,
so
super bizarre.
I guess just leave bodies alone.
Let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah.
I don't want nothing to do with that.
Oh my.
It would be very cool to discover a frozen caveman, but not if it's gonna come back and curse me.
Right. No, I'm good. Have you ever seen the movie
with Brendan Fraser?
Yeah.
I think it's Iceman.
I think you're right.
Let me look it up.
That's what I think of when I hear about, I mean, completely unrealistic, but funny movie. It's not like an epic movie, but it's still funny. I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time.
Movie's called Iceman. I don't know. Whatever. It's a good movie. You guys should all go check it out. But you have a chaser for us, Mom?
I do have a chaser, and my chaser is an Instagram account called Passenger Shaming. Have you seen it or heard about it?
Mm-mm.
It's basically where people take videos of other people doing weird or horrible things on airplanes. I would think the ones that I've seen are airplanes, but I think it could be any like public transportation, you know, mass public transportation thing, but airplanes. And so things like taking their shoes and socks off and putting their feet on the top of their seat, which are then hanging over somebody's head, doing yoga in the aisle and getting in the way of, it's just doing weird shit. So it's kind of funny. I mean, if you don't want to be quote unquote shamed on Instagram, don't do weird shit on airplanes or public transportation. Or if you're going to, don't be offended that somebody's posted you doing weird shit.
So I found the name of that movie. It's Encino Man.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Encino Man.
It's pretty funny.
I can't remember if we watched that together.
I think
we made you watch that when we were on our kick of you have to watch weird shit that we did when we were kids.
Yeah, I guess I'll put that as my chase. I'll do a two-part because I got another Brendan Fraser movie. Let's see. Okay, so that movie, Encino Man, that's a really good watch. And if you like that, then you should check out Blast from the Past with Brendan Fraser.
That is also good.
That movie is so funny. I watched it again recently, and it's really good. But basically, what is it, the Cold War that they're hiding in the bunker from? There's like a nuclear threat or something. And
they're worried about like nuclear fallout and things like that.
Yeah.
Which,
so they go into a bunker and the nuclear fallout never happens. So they just stay in the bunker for like 20, 30 years. And they start venturing out into the world and everything's changed. Because it went down in like the 60s and now it's the 80s or something that they came back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good watch. It's pretty funny.
And the dad is fantastic.
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken is good in anything and everything, I think.
Yeah. Same with Brendan Fraser. I don't think I've seen something he did that I didn't like.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are good chasers.
Yeah. I think that just about wraps us up, too.
It does. Thanks for listening to us and hanging out with us, everybody. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Love you, Mom.
Love you too, bud.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.